As they're finding their seats, please turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis 32. I'd like to speak on the thought this morning of contending for blessing. Contending for blessing. Genesis chapter 32, beginning with verse 22. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." Let's bow our hearts and let's ask God's blessing to be upon us as we look to the Word of God this morning. Father, once again, we thank you so much for your grace, mercy, and peace. Thank you, Lord, for your Son Jesus who died on Calvary for our sins. And thank you, Lord, for your Word this morning. As we look to your Word, we pray once again for your holy anointing to rest upon this place. Give words to this speaker, and give us all ears to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the unfortunate necessities of life is contention. How many feel your life would be better if you absolutely had no contention? Wouldn't life be great? But unfortunately, contention is a part of life. There will be times where you get home if you don't count your money right away from the bank, and you'll find that you've been shortchanged $20, $10. And so you have to go back to the bank teller and contend with them whether or not you got the right amount of money. Same thing if you went to a grocery store and was shortchanged the money you were due back, or the bagger didn't put in the items that you paid for. And so back to the store and contending with the shop people. And there's a period of almost incessant contention in not everyone's lives, but in most people's lives. Or many, I shouldn't say most, but many people's lives. And I'm speaking to those people who go through that period of life that we call raising adolescence. And for some reason, as you're raising adolescents, every day it's a bone of contention with your child or with your children. If you say it's white, they'll say it's black. If you say it's today, it's tomorrow. If you say it's up, they'll say it's down. And that's just the nature of things. And for some reason, you get into contention with them. But it's important, as far as contention, not to ignore it, not to say, "Well, it's not worth the bother. It's not worth $20, or it's not worth me getting my groceries, or working out the details with the repairman on the bill that he charged me and the work that he has done. Or it's not worth it, especially with my children, that they continue in their error." No, it's better that we contend for those things because they are important to us. Now, I thank God for my relationship with Jesus Christ and the freedom that I have in Christ, in that how everything that God gives me is free. The Bible describes that everything God gives us, He describes them as gifts, which means He gives them to us because He wants to. He loves us. We don't earn them. And when we think of grace and we think of gifts, we think that God does so much, even though we are sinful people. We're sinful when we first found Christ as Savior. And even after we accept Christ as Savior, although forgiven, washed by the blood of the Lamb, completely forgiven of all of our sins, we sometimes still do make mistakes. But bless God, God loves us anyways. But there are different aspects of our faith that we need to contend for. Salvation is something that's wonderful and free, and the Bible says, according to John's Gospel, chapter 1, it's simply granted to those who receive it. Those who simply open up their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, it is given. But there are other things as it relates to our faith in Christ. Although they are gifts, they must be things that we contend for. A good example of this is the nation of Israel. God promised many years ago to their ancestor Abraham that the land of Canaan would be their land. But through a set of certain circumstances, the nation or the people of Israel left that land of promise and lived in the land of Egypt for hundreds of years. But that wasn't God's perfect will for them. And God called them out of Egypt to go back to the land of promise. He had given that land to them. But before they could set up home in the land of Canaan, they first needed to contend with that land and drive out the inhabitants who came in and who were living in that place during the time of Israel's absence. It was a gift of God to them, but it was a gift that necessitated Israel to contend for it. There are times in my life, as I'm sure in your lives as well, that you're in need of a blessing. We need some kind of manifestation of God's grace in our lives to help us through the day or to get through a period of difficulty in our lives. Yet despite the fact God's gifts are free, they are somewhat delayed in coming. We as God's people feel like we're up against the wall. There's seemingly no response from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's seemingly nothing forthcoming as far as a ministry of God's grace into our lives. What God wants to tell us in the story that we read this morning is that when God's blessing is sometimes forthcoming, not to give up, but to earnestly contend for the faith. What is God's blessing? How would we describe that this morning? Well, for many people, when we think of God's blessing, we think of God doing something for us in a tangible sense. You know, blessing us or doing something for us in such a way that we can physically or naturally experience it. One way many of us like to be blessed is by that unexpected check that might come in the mail. How many enjoy those blessings? A lot of hallelujahs when those things come our way. In fact, if you want to bless me after service, I'm more than welcome and open to that. And of course, there's the moving of God's Holy Spirit. And thank God, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He still heals today, as He did back in the day that He walked the earth and the day the apostles ministered in the book of Acts. God still ministers healing. And isn't it wonderful when God moves in a divine fashion in the circumstances that we might be facing? Family circumstances, job situations or circumstances. You know, there's 100 different things and pressures and adversities that we can face in our lives. And there are times that God just comes through and delivers us from those things. Those are times of blessing that we thank God for. But there are also deeper blessings. Blessings that maybe we can't put our finger on. Blessings that we might not be able to see and feel and touch with our five senses. But blessings nonetheless. The moving of God deep within our hearts. Doing something deep within our spirits and our hearts. And this was the example of Jacob. Here he is this day as we read this scripture, or this evening, excuse me. He's wrestling with this man that he finds. And the reason he's wrestling with this man, he refuses to let this man go because he wants to be blessed. And the blessing that he wanted to receive at that point in his life wasn't of the tangible sense. The blessing that we can see, feel, and touch. At this point in his life, he was a wealthy man. He had many sheep and many herd, many goats in his herds. He was very well materially blessed. He was someone who had a great family. If bearing children was an issue in his father's life and in his grandfather's life, but not in his life. He had 11 sons, and later he was to have another son plus a daughter. He had property waiting for him. It was in his name. He was the rightful heir of the land of promise. His father told him that. And the Lord himself, when he was living in a land far away, told Jacob it was time to return to his land. So he had everything materially that he could have wanted, but he was desperate for God to bless him. And the blessing wasn't anything on the outside. It was something on the inside. His need was in his heart. In fact, I believe what his need was a need of character. This is kind of revealed in Jacob's name. And what Jacob means literally is supplanter, which, you know, is not a word that we use too much, but we could substitute that word for trickster. You know, what do you think of when you think of someone who's a trickster? You think of, I think of a car salesman. I hope there are no car salesmen here today. And let me tell you, I've had some wonderful car salesmen. We've had a political season, but I'm not going there either. But this name, he was named well. This described his character. I mean, he had some good qualities and some awesome traits, but he had in his life and in his heart some severe character flaws. He was a man who didn't mind bending the truth. Well, let's call it what it is. He was a man who did not mind to lie when circumstances permitted themselves to. He was someone who did not feel any remorse or second thought about manipulating people to bless himself. He was someone who disrespected his father. It's a wonderful story. Genesis is a wonderful book. I think it reads better than any novel. But Jacob's mother wanted Jacob to receive the blessing that was rightfully due by birth to his older brother Esau. And so she connived and she schemed and she had a plan for Jacob to take that blessing, that birthright from his brother. Now, you could say, well, he was just being obedient to his mother. Well, yes, he was being obedient to his mother, but he was being disrespectful and deceitful to his father. He could have said no and should have said no. That's not God's way. And he paid for that. He was someone who blasphemed God as he was deceiving. And the way the story goes, he pretended his father at the end of his life could not see. And so he dressed up like his older brother Esau. And when he came in to receive the blessing from his father Isaac, his father recognized that this does not sound like my firstborn son Esau. This sounds like Jacob. And so he asked him, are you my son? Are you Jake? Are you Esau? You sound like Jacob. And Jacob said, no, I'm Esau. You know, they went through the whole deceit. And what Esau was sent out to do was to find and kill, hunt down venison and prepare it for his father. And right after he leaves, Jacob comes in dressed as Esau with the meal. And Isaac, the father, says to Jacob, how is it you found it so quickly? And you know what Jacob says? The Lord your God delivered it to me. Not only was he someone who was disrespectful to his father, he thought nothing of blaspheming God in his deceit and trickery. He was also, as we see later on in his life, in fact, this was not something until after this account, was someone, although he was someone who worshiped God, he was someone who tolerated false idols. His second wife stole idols, and apparently at some point he became aware of that and had to and told them that they would put them away later on in his life. But at this point, he was someone who was tolerant of false gods. And at this point in his life, everything came to a head. His past was catching up to him. And he knew the solution to the problems that he was facing wasn't more money, it wasn't more children, it wasn't more land, it wasn't more possessions. He needed a change of heart. My personal belief is he came to the point in his life that he couldn't stand looking in the mirror in the morning and seeing himself. I know they probably didn't have mirrors at that point, but you know what I mean. And God responded as he wrestled with this man. This man who some say is an angel, others say is the Lord Jesus Christ who came down in a special way at this instant in Jacob's life. Blessed him. And in this blessing, God changed his heart. How do we know this to be true? Well, you know, in the Bible, names are somewhat different. We view them, they were viewed actually more serious than we view them today. Those of you who are parents, what was the number one criteria as far as selecting a name for your child? Ours was, you know, we wanted something that was godly and whatnot, but we wanted something that we liked. You know, we wanted a name that sounded good and we liked. You know, it was good that we wanted to pick something that had some type of spiritual significance as well. They didn't care at that point what the name sounded like. They named a child according to who they were and who they were later to become. Case in point, Jacob, trickster. And what did this man do? Most likely the Lord, and I think it's the Lord Jesus Christ, because in verse 30, Jacob calls the place Peniel, which means the face of God, or God's face. He saw God face to face. What did Jesus do? He changed his name from trickster to Israel, which means prince with God. He was no longer this trickster. You know, when someone gets the reputation of being dishonest, it sticks with them for a long time. And young people, as you're starting out life, cherish and protect your reputation, because the sins that you accomplish in your youth will stay with you a long time, and you'll have to work very hard to get out from under them. It's not what I planned on preaching today, but I felt it was good to share. And this was Jacob's reputation. Don't trust him. His brother-in-law didn't trust him. That's what the mitzvah was all about. The Lord watched between you and me, and it wasn't a bond of friendship. It's, I don't trust you, you don't trust me, so God better watch us both. Until this moment where God blessed him, not with more money, not with more lands, but he blessed him with a change of heart. And Jacob, no longer a man of shame. His sin and his reproach was rolled away. He became a changed man, an honest man. In fact, we don't see any more deceit in his dealings from this moment on. Are you ever in need of a deeper blessing? I know I am. Of course, when we think of Jacob's life, there's issues of character. You know, and it's funny, and I'm just sharing personally from my experience and my relationship with Jesus. Just when I think I'm doing something, I feel like I'm doing pretty good, the Holy Spirit brings something to my attention that I need to change about my life that's not godly or not as godly as it should be. And so there are issues of character, and I can't, because I've been living this way for 44 years. I can't change by myself. I need God's hand and blessing to change me, to make me different. But character is not the only issue of the heart. Sometimes we need to contend for. There are other heart issues. There are times that we go through great sadness and sorrow. We as a church, many of you in this church body have lost loved ones in the past month. How hard that is. It's natural. It's normal. It's even godly to show sorrow when we lose someone. Jesus himself weeping. And unfortunately, we hear too much about young children who are somehow, some way, either physically or sexually molested. As a young child, and they carry that sorrow through their lives. And they don't know how to get out from under it. But our God is a God of joy. What is the kingdom of God? According to the book of Romans, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Blessing of the heart. The blessing of God goes deeper than just blessing us financially, although that's all wonderful, well and good. Goes down to our soul and brings, when we face sorrow, great joy in the name of Jesus. There are some people who cannot make, as hard as they might try, and I'm not trying to be disparaging, but as hard as they might try, they have difficulty making good decisions. That's all right. I'm yelling louder than her. They can't make a right decision. Everything seems to go wrong in their lives. They're bound by foolishness. But bless God. God is a God of wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. When we're bound by foolishness, God can grant us wisdom. In Jesus' name. And then there is the hard issue of emptiness. You know, as we serve Jesus Christ, there are times in our lives that we can be empty of soul and spirit. You know, just, and sometimes the reason for it, you can't really put your finger on the reason why you feel empty. You know, and life is just that way, where spiritually, and in my relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm dry. I'm empty. I'm dead. Maybe not completely dead, but just barely living. I don't know if I'm communicating that clearly, but I think some of you at least understand what I'm talking about. We need God just to come in and renew and restore our relationship with Him. It's a hard issue. It's a blessing of God. And there are things in addition to issues of character that God has provided for through the atonement. The Lord Jesus Christ. However, as much as you might need character, wisdom, joy, or a fresh infilling of God's Holy Spirit, it may not come readily. You might have to contend for it in Jesus' name, just as Jacob contended with the angel for a change of his name and a change of his heart. In Jesus' name, will you be up to that challenge of contending for God's blessing? How do we do this? How do we contend? I think, as far as Scripture, and I never heard any other instance, this was the only time that anyone actually physically contended with God to receive a blessing. I don't think the Lord or an angel is going to physically appear to you, and you have to wrestle with Him in order for you to receive a blessing. But you will have to contend, and I believe Scripture teaches us how we can contend for God's best in our lives. His blessing, no matter what it might be, either externally or internally, in the name of Jesus. I think one of the first things that we need to do is we need to understand that it's God's desire to bless and to do good. It's God's desire to bless. You know, sometimes we don't contend, we give up on the blessing because we don't think God is going to bless us. Have you ever been there? It's a mindset. We might know in our mind what Scripture says, but in our heart, God's not going to do it. Think of the illustration of Jacob. Now, he's wrestling either with the Lord Jesus Christ or with an angel. Personally, I think it's the Lord Jesus. Do you think Jacob had any chance, any shot of overpowering the Lord Jesus Christ? Would any man have any shot against any angelic being or the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, the Lord could have simply left at any moment of his choosing, but he chose to stay. Why? Because he wanted Jacob to receive a blessing. You know, in this wrestling, I don't have it in my notes and didn't really want to go there, but, you know, this really brought Jacob to the place of humility that he needed to be. Can you picture what was going on here? You know, the Lord Jesus trying to walk away and Jacob pulling at his arm, pulling at his feet, holding them, you know, losing all shame because he so desperately wanted God's blessing in his life. God could have left at any time. And Jesus rehearsed these same words or the same sentiment in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 11 through 13. Luke 11 being a great chapter on prayer. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will he give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What is God saying there? What is the will of God for your life? You, put your name there. It's good. He wants to bless you. He wants to fill you. He wants to encourage you. He wants you to walk in the joy of the Holy Spirit, in the wisdom of the Word of God and of the Spirit of God. He wants the glory of God to shine through your life. God's will for you is good. And it's something that he wishes to transmit. It's not just an empty wish. It's something that he wishes to give. But God's plan and God's purposes, he may require that we first contend. We're not earning it. We can't earn it. We don't owe it. But in God's plan, we may need to contend for it. As I mentioned a few moments ago, the imagery there we have in this portion of Scripture is Jacob holding on to this man for dear life, not letting go. You know, as soon as he breaks, the man breaks his grip on one hand, Jacob grabs another. As soon as he breaks that, he grabs a foot, and so on and so forth. It goes on and on and on all night. Can you imagine? After being up all day, they're traveling. He's under distressing circumstances. He's under pressure because he's going to meet the brother that he cheated. And he thinks his brother's going to kill him. He must have been physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually exhausted. But he so desperately wanted that blessing that he was not willing to let go. In Jesus' name. And Jesus says that's the same type of tenacity that at times you and I need if we're going to receive his blessing in our lives. Steadfast, passionate pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ, not with hands and arms, but with our knees and our lips before God in prayer. He bears this out earlier in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, reading verses 5 through 10. I know I have 9 and 10 up there, but I'm going to read verses 5 through 10, he shares with them a story. He said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. To him who knocks, the door will be open." He tells this story about knocking, a person knocking on the door in the middle of the night, although it's an inconvenient time, although it's an odd time, and he will not stop until that door is open. And he receives what he needs. And what is he teaching that in relationship to? Our prayer life. Specifically in seeking God's answer or God's blessing in our lives. Not letting God go until he answers. Now, am I saying that we need to pray 24/7 until it happens? Well, you know, it may be several weeks. In fact, some people have prayed years for God to do some things in their lives, the blessing of maybe the salvation of a family member. I think it's important that we adopt a prayer life, especially during these times, that the man, the prophet in the Old Testament, that Daniel had. Daniel was a man of great revelation and a man who was mightily blessed by God. Blessed through his revelations and also by his position. Although being in a foreign and hostile land, being exalted as the number one ruler in that land, under the emperor of that land himself, or the ruler of that land himself, Nebuchadnezzar. He was a man who prayed not once, not twice, but three times a day. And when he faced times of contention, he would fast, and he would pray, and he would not let go until God delivered an answer. In fact, he fasted 21 days before he received a revelation of that God wanted him to receive that he knew was there for him, but for whatever reason was not forthcoming. And we need to be the same way as serving God. And seeking God and wrestling with God for God's blessing. Seeking God morning, noon, and night. Seeking him through fastings and prayers. Maybe not fasting all day. Maybe a meal for however many days. But earnestly pursuing God until God gives us an answer. Until God blesses us in the name of Jesus. You know, intense prayer like this, it requires that not only we set our mind to pray and that we're going to contend or wrestle or not let God go on this until he answers, but also requires that we wrestle with ourselves. That we wrestle with ourselves. As I mentioned earlier, there were a lot of things that could have kept Jacob from wrestling with the Lord Jesus Christ in Peniel. He was tired. It was a long day. He was distraught and everything. He could have just said, "Forget it. I'll go on without the blessing." There will be things in your life that will keep you from passionately pursuing God in prayer, as you should. First being that of sin or flesh. You know, something happens when you know, I know none of us are perfect, but sometimes we can fall in the trap of doing wrong things when we know that we shouldn't. You know, what is the simplest definition of sin in Scripture is, to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. And there are times that we fall into that trap of sin. How confident do you pray when you know there are things in your life that aren't right? Not very confident at all, if you have any type of spiritual confidence. Righteousness is important. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "The prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective." And so if we are in need of a blessing in our lives, we got to make sure we get rid of the sin in the name of Jesus. Because if there's embrace sin, if God is convicting you regarding something in your life, you will not have it within you to pray as you should. Your prayers will be hindered. not only in the eyes of God, but in your conscience. Guilt will overwhelm your soul and you won't be able to seek God like you should. Secondly, we need to be aware that we are engaged in a spiritual battle against Satan. Just as much, not quite as much as God wants to bless you, because Satan is nothing compared to God. But Satan does not want you to receive anything from the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 talks about his schemes. And his schemes are those plans for evil that he has against believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, against the church. They're distractions, they're assaults. They could be manifestations of different things, whether it's error or different calamities that might happen in your life. And the purpose of that isn't just to take away things and to bring you to a place where you have less, but to bring you to a place where you're distracted away from pursuing God in the area of faith. Instead of believing and trusting God, you're overwhelmed by doubt or discouragement or fear. He wants to keep you, by all his distractions and assaults, from praying, from believing, and for obeying. That's why, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as you contend for the faith, every day you need to put on the full armor of God. We don't have time to go through it this morning. But every day, because we're involved in a battle, we need to put on faith and righteousness and truth and salvation and the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. Those things are necessary. If we're unprepared, we are open game for the enemy. And we'll have a difficult time contending for the faith. But if we're well armored, if we're well prepared, we'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the enemy in Jesus' name and passionately pursue Christ as the Lord Jesus Christ has ordained. Thirdly, third thing in our lives that we need to overcome is that of circumstance. You know, when you're in need, the world doesn't stop. Wouldn't it be great if we could just put the world on hold when we need to really press in for more of God? We could just put our jobs on hold, we could put our family on hold, and it can just be us and God. Well, it doesn't work that way. There's no stop button. You know, we live in a younger generation. We live in the video game age where if you want to do something else, you hit pause. Or if you're watching a movie, you hit pause. You can't do that in life. Sometimes contention requires sacrifice. It requires making and taking extra time and extra effort to wrestle with God prayerfully for the Lord Jesus Christ to grant that blessing in our lives. In fact, sometimes, this can play into a little bit as far as the enemy, our lives can become even more hectic when we're in need of a blessing. But those are the times that we need to hold on to God even more so in the name of Jesus. God, in prayer, I will not let you go until you bless me in Jesus' name. I'd like to ask our musicians to come this morning. And just a couple things I'd like to say in closing, and as they're coming, as they prepare to, and as they begin to play softly, I'd like to ask everyone just to bow your head and to close your eyes this morning in Jesus' precious name. No one please looking around. The blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ are many, and I can say from personal experience, they are rich and they are wonderful. There is nothing that compares to them, but the most important blessing that anyone can ever receive from Christ is the free gift of salvation. We didn't talk about it much, but we don't, just because we didn't talk about it, we don't want to take it for granted or to minimize the importance of personally knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. You might not even know what that means this morning when I say that. And what it speaks to our relationship with God. and that God, since we are His creation, loves us so much, and He wants to live in relationship with us. But because of something in our lives that is just wholly against His nature, He can't. And that something is sin. See, God is a holy God. God is a perfect God. And as such, He is not a God who can tolerate sin, not in the least. And the problem that faces all mankind is that every one of us are born into sin. Every one of us have come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. Every one of us. And there's no one who's here, and I can only speak for myself, but I believe the Word of God. There is no one here who has never known the right thing to do and not did it at least once in your life. We all have. In fact, we all have many times. And because we have done those things, the Bible says, we've fallen short of God's glory. We cannot be in relationship with Him. There's no hope beyond the grave for us. There's no hope even for His help during life on this earth. But you know, God, even though He's a God of justice, even though He is a God who is a holy God, is also a God of love. And when He saw mankind, and He knew even before He created mankind that mankind, because He created man perfect, with the ability to choose to live right or wrong, that man would fall away because man's not God. So He says, I can't allow this to happen. And even though there's a penalty of sin, I can't let man take that penalty. And so I'm going to send my Son, my only begotten Son, to die on Calvary, to die on an old rugged cross for their sin. He, because He is God, He is me. The Bible says, I am my Father and one. He, because He is perfect. When He dies, it won't be for His sin. It'll be for the sin of all mankind. So that they might be forgiven. And I can live. I, my Son, and my Holy Spirit can live in communion, in fellowship, in relationship with Him. The only thing that's necessary for us to have that relationship with God that has been severed by sin is to personally receive Jesus. It's for everyone, but the Bible says it only becomes real or manifests itself, that forgiveness, when we personally make that decision to invite Jesus Christ into our lives. Once again, John chapter 1, verse 12, for as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to be called the sons of God, even to them who believe on His name. It's not a matter of earning it. It's not a matter of I've done the bad things, so I've got to do a lot of good things. It's nothing like that at all. It's not a matter of money. It's not a matter of gaining man's favor or becoming a member of a church as we did today. It's a matter of simply receiving what Jesus did personally into your life. Once again, as every head's bowed, every eye's closed this morning, if there's someone here and you feel something in your heart, and what that something is, it's not a something, it's a someone. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And if in your heart you're saying, I need forgiveness. I need this blessing of a brand new start in my life. I don't have an assurance about tomorrow. I'm living life all alone. I know that I do not have this relationship with God. And you'd like to. You know that God is just over the line, just over the hill. Right next door, right outside the door of your heart, waiting to come in. And you'd like to invite Him in this morning. Would you slip up your hand? I'd like to pray with you.